الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Firstly, I'd like to apologize to Ross that we did not have a class last week. I was traveling. I did not remember that I had not told the brothers who will inform the rest of us that we will not be around. I also did not mention it in the class before because I had known that I will not be around in the last class. But you know, the euphoria of our classes sometimes makes you forget. Your mind will say then, inshallah, in our next class. We hardly left here except that we have issues to resolve in the next class. So that one itself makes the individual to have his mind kept off the fact that that next class will be sometime further than we think. So I sincerely apologize for that. And even though our coming will be rewarded, inshallah, but you know, for a person to come to a place for a particular purpose and not exactly have what he intended established, he had some form of disturbance in his mind. So I apologize really for that. May Allah forgive all of us. We are on Ruku, and our discourses have been about Salah. One of the most repeatedly mentioned commandments in the Quran, Aqimus Salah. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. The companions had two ways they learned Salah. The companions رضي الله عنهم, they learned Salah from the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام in two ways. They were either watching him performing the Salah, so they prayed as they saw him pray, and he had ordered them to do so عليه الصلاة والسلام. That fellow Kamaro Aitimuni Isali. Pray as you see me pray. So they learned Salah like that. The other way they learned the Salah was to have them taught by the Prophet Muhammad. When you perform the Salah, do this. When you perform the Salah, don't do that. When you perform the Salah, don't do this. A third sub of a way they perform Salah, but sub to the second form, is that he would find them performing Salah in a way alayhi salatu, and then he would correct them. That would come under what he said to them during Salah or regarding Salah, that do it like this, don't do it like this. So they have those two major ways. They either observe him perform Salah radiallahu anhu alayhi salatu wasalam, or he taught them how to perform the Salah. Do you like this, do you like that. Like the one who erred in his Salah, radiyallahu anhu. But unfortunately, many of the Muslims today don't learn the Salah like this. So you found that the companions learned Salah. Many of the Muslims today, they don't learn the Salah. Learning to pray. The companions, radiyallahu anhu, they learned Iman. Today, we say, Arkanul Iman come. He says sita. We start counting. Iman billahi wa malaikatihi. The companions radiallahu anhum, they learned it one after the other from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So that many of the Muslims don't pay attention to learning Islam itself. They would suffice with the fact that they were born Muslims, and that does not suffice. The companions who radiallahu anhum in their times, the Messenger of Rabbul Alameen was with them. The Quran was being revealed when they were there. They did not suffice with that. They still learnt it. Nobody will ever suffice with that forever. If the companions radiallahu anhum did not suffice with that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam with us. So you don't need to learn it. People like Ali ibn Abi Talib, that is my in-law and my big cousin, big uncle. I don't need to learn the Salah. they would have sufficed with that. But they still ranked this fellah. Radiallahu anhu. So it will not suffice anybody that Baba Amil Umamuni will not be sufficient for anybody. We must pay attention to salah. Fortunately, these are the basics of Islam. So if a person does not know how to pray, if a person does not know the issues of Iman, and then he does not know how to pray, where it is Islam? But these are things you know in our generation we take for levity now. We take them for levity, salah. We take them for levity. The companions, radiallahu anhum, used to fight the community based on salah. They will wait to hear whether we will hear Adhan. If they heard the Adhan, so these were Muslims. If they did not hear the Adhan, they got ready for a fight with them. But today these are mellowed down issues. In fact, people are abused for it. The issues of salah, some of the people sarcastically will say, so you sit down like this talking about salah. The matter of salah is far much more than that. Much more than the time we have even paid for it. It's more than the time we have given to it. Salah. It's one thing you'll enjoy in the north. About every masjid you go to, they are talking about salah. It is a divide between the Muslim and the non-Muslim. إِنَّ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ الْأَهْدُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ صَلَاةِ The early Muslims even compiled books completely on salah. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, he has a book, تعظيم قدر الصلاة. About salah. تعظيم. Mentioning the greatness for the status of salah. It goes over 400 pages. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi. So you need to mention the importance of salah, mentioning verses of the Quran regarding the importance of salah. When Allah mentioned the person who went away in Surah Al-Maryam, what did he say? فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْضِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ What did he say he did to them? فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا After the piety who went away, the major index of impiety is abandoning salah. A major index of impiety is to abandon salah. Or to perform salah badly. From the aspects of abandoning the salah, is to be performing the salah badly. So salah is a thing that requires learning. Salah requires learning it. From the report that has been mentioned from some of the companions, one of them, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentions this in his book, Kitab al-Kaba'ir, or Al-Kaba'ir. He said that there are three sets of things. Each of them is a pair. Three things. One is double, the other is double. Three like that. If you do one of them and you leave the other one becomes unacceptable. He says, Allah says, Anishkurni wal walidayk. Be grateful to me and to your parents. He said, it will be invalid for a person to say, oh, I'm grateful to Allah, and then he's ungrateful to the parents. Likewise, it will be inappropriate for the individual to say, oh, I'm grateful to my parents, but he's not grateful to Allah. The second one, he says, Allah says, Aqimu salata wa atu zakah. It is out of place for an individual to say, oh, yuqimu salata wa la yu'ti zakah. He observes the salah but he wouldn't give zakah. Or he gives zakah but he will not perform salah. The two of them must go together. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that. as is cited of him by Al-Imam al-Zahabi. The third one did not come to my mind now. So Salah has a very high place with Allah subhanahu. When he wanted to give it to the Prophet Muhammad, he did not send an Adith, he did not send Jibreel alayhi salam. He called him, come to the heavens, and he gave him Salah in the heavens, in Mi'raj. We are mentioning this for us to understand that it requires that we should learn it. If something is so important like this, then paying attention to learning it is a major aspect of the individual's Islam. You must learn Salah. Unfortunately, we don't learn Salah. People don't learn Salah. And so they do not teach children Salah. So just pray. Go to Masjid, pray. How will he pray? How will he observe that Salah? How? A man has a wife, he did not teach her Salah. Because she's veiling her face. Wearing jilbab. Is this sensible? Sorry. That expression is very, very harsh. But what he is leaving behind is so bad that he requires such expressions to get serious. A man marries a woman. A man marries a woman who is veiling jilbab. He did not say, come, pray, let me see. After all the years of WhatsApp love and this and then the nikah happened. Pray, let me see how you pray. He goes to the masjid to pray perhaps. But he does not know how his wife, family, prays. He has not risen to his responsibility. So he only gives her food, drink, clothes, sleep in the house. But he does not know how she prays. This is bad. It's inappropriate. Likewise, a woman who does not know how her husband prays. How do you pray? She doesn't know. Pray, let me see. Because many do not know how to pray. And the salah of the individual determines a lot about him. So we must pay a good attention to salah. We must pay good attention to how to pray. Many people who are appointed imams of mosques or masajid don't know how to pray. If they pray the way they pray now, in the times of the companions, radiallahu anhu, those people will not pray behind them. This is not salah we learned from the Prophet Muhammad. Salah. So we must pay good attention to learning salah. We were standing up from ruku. I will mention that there are two ways to mention Sami Allahu liman hamidah when we stand from ruku. We mentioned that one occurs in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Huraira in that hadith said radiallahu anhu that ثم يقول, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he is in ruku, he would say, سمع الله لمن حمدا حين يرفع صلبه من الركوع. He would say, سمع الله لمن حمدا حين, at the time, while يرفع صلبه من الركوع, while raising his back from ruku. At that time, he's standing up. What will he say? سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمْدًا عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And then he says, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ. When he already stands firm, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ مَاذَا رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Hadith of Abu Hurairah. So سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا while standing up. After standing, he then will say what? رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. We are still coming back to this Rabbana walakal hamd. Before we go ahead, there's a second hadith, the hadith of Abu Humayd ibn Sa'id, wherein he says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال سمي الله لمن حمده. He would say سمي الله لمن حمده ثم رفع واعتدل. After saying سمي الله لمن حمده رفع, he stood up واعتدل and became firm. He stood straight, balanced while standing. When did he say that سمي الله لمن حمده? Before standing. So they are both correct based on these narrations. سمي الله لمن حمده while standing. سمي الله لمن حمده, then we start. There's an issue we have not taken along and we'll start from there today. When do we raise our hands in سمي الله لمن حمده? While standing up from ruku. We start with this mas'ala today, inshallah. When do we raise our hands when we stand up for ruku? The simple truth is that we stand, as we stand up, we raise the hands. We will raise the hands once we start standing. سمي الله لمن حمده. سمي الله لمن حمده. As you stand, the hand leaves the knee, you raise it. Then raise it up. So you raise it up to the level of the shoulder, or you raise it up to the level of the earlobes. As you are standing, سمي الله لمن حمده. The hand is coming up. It either comes to the level of the shoulder or it comes to the level of the earlobes. سمي الله لمن حمده. As we stand up, we start raising the hand simultaneously. So the hands come to the level of the shoulder. I saw somebody praying on the day of Juma. He's supposed to be a young person. He has beard. When he raises the hand, he just, this one has not raised the hand, like this. Like he is begged, you will surrender, سمي الله لمن حمده. You are not, people do it, women do it too. You know, just like a slap is wrong, like this. No, سمي الله لمن حمده. Likewise, when you make your takbir, our takbirat al-intiqal, the takbirs with which you change position, you raise the hand, not like this, not to the level of the chest, to the level of the what? To the shoulder. حَذُوا الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ أَوْ يُحَاذِي بِهِمَ الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ. The two monkeys. The monkey is the connection between the upper hand and the shoulder. This connection, this joint here is what is referred to as what monkey. This place is called between the neck and the monkey, you have al-kaf. Here the joint place is what? Monkey. So the hand should be raised in that leg, not to the shoulder, not in front of you, not like this. No, raise it completely. Who are you raising it for? Rabbul Alam. So you must be down correctly. سمي الله لمن حمده. As you are standing up, you raise it. سمي الله لمن حمده. Either to the level of the shoulder or to the level of the earlobes. As we are used to, what are the proofs for this? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. There's a brother who likes this hadith. Yes. The brother from Ishain. Where is Abu Abdullah? He likes this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar so much. He's always reminding me of the hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I saw the Prophet Muhammad. You see now, one of the ways they learn the Salah. They will be watching the Salah of the Prophet Muhammad. Because Allah has told them in the Quran that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Everything the Rasul does, do it like that. And Allah has told them, إِن تُطِعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are ready guided. So they are watching him. He says, Ra'aytu Rasul Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iza ftataha salah, rafa'a yadayhi, hatta yuhadiya mankibayhi. The Prophet, when he stands up to pray, rafa'a yadayhi, he raises his two hands, hatta yuhadiya mankibayhi, until they come up, until they come in front equal to his two shoulders. That is at the beginning of Salah. وَقَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْكَعْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْكَعْ Before he makes a ruku. How many now? وَإِذَا رَفَعَ مِنَ الرُّكُوْ وَإِذَا رَفَعَ When he stands up from ruku. What does he do? رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ حَتَّى يُحَادِيَ مَنْكِبَيْهِ He will raise his two hands until they come in the same level with his two shoulders. Sallallahu alayhi. When does he do that? Iza rafa'a min al-ruku. When he stands up from ruku. That's our point of reference. That long, this wording that I just read is from Sahih Muslim. The report of Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, Iza qala sami'a Allahu liman hamida fa'ala mithla dhalik. Iza qala mada? Sami'a Allahu liman hamida fa'ala mithla dhalik. He does the like of that. That is, he raises his hand to the level of his shoulder. إِذَا قَالَ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ Don't forget, when do we say سَمِيَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا? Why? So this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar is another proof that supports that hadith of Abu Hurairah. When do we say سَمِيَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا? Why? فَيَرْفَوْ يَدَيْهِ حَتَّى يُحَادِيَ بِهِمَا مَنْكِبَيْهِ Until he makes them equal his two shoulders. That hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. It also occurs in Sahih Muslim. So they come together. This is what the ulama have said. We would have been reading their statements too. So that we will be sure that we are not misinterpreting or misunderstanding that hadith. Al-Imam Waliyuddin al-Iraqi, himself and his father, they had a book, Tarq al-Tafsir. Al-Imam al-Hafiz al-Iraqi, Hafiz al-Iraqi is the teacher of Ibn Hajar. Al-Asqalah. Because there are two Ibn Hajar. Al-Haythami and Al-Asqalah. Al-Haythami is Malik. Al-Asqalah is Shafi. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, Al-Asqalah and Al-Hafiz. He stayed 10 years with Hafiz al-Iraqi. 10 years. Ibn Hajar. He made mulazama of Al-Hafiz al-Iraqi for 10 years. Not him alone, himself and his wife. Because the two of them were great scholars. Some of the scholars say that Ibn Hajar did not allow the wife to become known. He overshadowed her. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, himself and his wife were learned people. The ulama say Ibn Hajar did not allow us to know his wife. Otherwise, Mashindu ko kalama go ko ayah. The way we hear of the husband would have been hearing of the wife too. They learned from the same teacher for 10 years, husband and wife. This teacher from whom they learned, Al-Hafiz al-Iraqi, he has a son. His name is Waliyuddin al-Iraqi, Abu Zura'a. The both of them, the father started a book, Tarq al-Tafsir. He did not finish, the son came and proceeded with the book. So the book may be ascribed to any of them, either the father or the son. So in this book it is said that رَفْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ raising the hands مُقَارِنٌ لِرَفْعِ الرَّأْسِ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ مُقَارِنٌ It comes at the same time with what? لِرَفْعِ الرَّأْسِ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ رَفْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ مُقَارِنٌ لِرَفْعِ الرَّأْسِ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ Raising the hands will come at the same time when you raise the head from the ruku. When we raise the hands while standing from the ruku, we are standing. We start raising the hands. Where does it get to? The level of the shoulder or the level of the ear? So this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, what did it say? The level of the shoulder. So where do we find the proof that we raise it up to the level of the ear?
that occurs in the hadith of Wa'il ibn Hijr radiyallahu anhu. This hadith also occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. They are both mutafakun alayhi. That means it will be in Umdatul Ahkam. As-Sugra. Because Umdatul Ahkam, there are two. Al-Kubra, and then what? As-Sugra. As-Sugra has a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Kubra has a hadith in other books too. So this hadith of Ibn Umar is in Umdatul Ahkam al-Sugra. This hadith of Malik ibn Huwairis Abu Sulaiman is also where? In Umdatul Ahkam. That hadith of Abu Huraira that we read at the beginning of this class, with which we discussed the issues of Ruku, that hadith also occurs in Umdatul Ahkam. Because the hadith is where? Bukhari and Muslim. And it is discussing the issues of Ahkam. I hope that these points are clear. Many times people read books, they don't know what is talking about. It may not be talking about what you want. So you'll be searching for something in the wrong place. If the hadith is not a topic, don't look for it in Umdatul Ahkam. That is the point. In this hadith of Malik ibn Huwairis Abu Sulaiman, it says, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ إِذَا كَبَّرَ When he makes that deal, رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ حَتَّى يُحَادِيَ بِهِ مَا أُوْزِ مَيْهِ When he starts salah, he raises his hand up to his ear. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ حَتَّى يُحَادِيَ بِهِ مَا أُوْزِ مَيْهِ It seems when he wants to make ruku, he will raise it up to his ear leg. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوع This is our point of reference. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوع فَقَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ When he raises his head from ruku, he would say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ فَعَلَ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ What will he do? He will raise his hand up to God. Where does it get to? He's the enemy. يُحَادِيَ بِهِ مَا أُذِنَيْهِ Until he gets to the enemy. So two ways we stand from ruku. Two ways. The first one is to say, Sami Allahu liman hamida. As we are saying, Sami Allahu liman hamida, what are we doing? We are raising our hands up to the level of our shoulders. The first, second one. As we are saying, Sami Allahu liman hamida, we are also raising our hands. Up to which level? Our earlobes. By the hadith of Abu Humayd ibn Sa'id, he says, Sami Allahu liman hamida, while still on ruku. But while we are standing, what do? We raise our hands. Either to the level of the earlobes or to the level of the shoulder. I hope that this point is clear. They are all allowed ways of standing up from ruku. Sami Allahu liman hamida. But don't forget, as you stand up, your hands too must follow you. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Before we leave this issue, what is the ruling of that cross in your day? It must have a ruling. The ruling is what? Mustahab. It is mandu, encouraged in salah. Meaning that if a person does not do it, he does not have to make such a difference. And then his salah is still valid. Although he has missed the reward of raising his hand. There are those amongst the ulama who say it is wajib. The Imam of Tahawi mentioned that of some of the Muslims, that they say it is wajib. But the madhab of the Jumhur is that it is what? Mustahab. Let us stop like that. To say it is mustahab. رَفُ الْيَدِي إِنْدَ الرَّفْعِ مِنَ الرُّكُورِ What is its ruling? Mustahab. So we know its hukum. We've known its sifa. We also know muntaha al-rab. Where does the hand end when we make the rab? These things are like that. Those are the rulings, those are the rules. The next issue we like to raise, we'll demonstrate them inshallah. The other issue we like to raise, as the man raises his hand, standing up from the pool, Why does he return the hand? He raises the hand, رفع يدي حين يرفع من الركوع. So where does the hand go? Now that he's already standing, don't forget that while standing up, he's saying what? Sami Allah. And when he stands fully, what does he say? Rabbana wa laka alhamd. We are coming back there. But as he says, Sami Allah wa liman hamid, he finishes. Where does the hand go to? This is a matter of big difference among ulama. Does he drop the hands by his side? Or does he fold the hands back where they were before he went on with this? Seriously. I'd like to make two comments before we get the issue. The first is that it is wrong for people to think that the difference started with Sifat Salat in the leadership level. Some people have that opinion very wrong. They have not looked deeply and backwards. That's why they say that. Sometimes it is out of empty mischief. Those who deliberately ascribe that difference to Imam al-Albani, many of them do it out of clear-cut what? Mischief and mischievousness. For those of them who know, mischief, abosi, yama abosi sima. Sometimes people become mischievous regarding knowledge. Allah warned about it in the Quran. Let me leave the verse because it is very hot. Now, Allah says in Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Those who hide what we have already explained to the people of guidance and clear-cut evidence, they hide. He knows, he claims something else. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ. After we have made the matter clear to the people, in the books, what did he say? أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ نَعَمْ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ. Those people, يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah's curse will be being on them. They know but they change it. They cover it. Don't say that to me. If people will not be doing it with knowledge, it will not be there. People do it. Among those who need Bani Israel, they are just, you know, until they survive. Don't say that one. I saw you. Don't say that one. Don't say that. They are deliberately covering the message. So those who deliberately tweet the truth that is available, clear. Allah mentions them that they are under his curse and the curse of those who will be cursing. Until they do what? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا, except those who repent from this evil action, وَأَصْلَحُوا, and then they change and better their ways, وَبَيَّنُوا, and then they must explain that thing, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. They were the people that I will forgive. Those are the people that I will pardon. So it's a very big thing to know something and say something else. May Allah protect you. Many people do it. So it is very wrong for people to say, oh, the issue of where you put your hands when you stand up from the pool began to become the thing of difference when Imam al-Albani wrote Sifat Salat in Nabi. Whoever says this, knowing fully well that he is telling a lie, let him remember that man. So you need him with Allah. But for those who don't know, then they should learn. If a person does not know, when he told the truth and give it a reference, they should drop his previously wrong
view regarding the issue.
This matter has been a thing of difference since a long time. To the extent that the Imma Ulama will go to them, what are we supposed to do when we stand up? Many of the scholars have spoken about longing. It was one of the things Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Salim Mazmoor
first of all did in his Sharh of Sirat al-Salat al-Nabi. He quickly mentioned that people have been discussing it long ago. Some people have been having that opinion that you should drop the hand. Some people have been saying that you can fold it long ago. He quickly did that. So that nobody will say, oh, you are starting something new. This is the first thing I like to clarify regarding this. So some people say that out of not knowing, and some people say that knowing that it is wrong, but becoming mischievous. May Allah protect us. The second clarification I like to make about this issue is that it is not an issue to fight about. It's not an issue to fight about, to quarrel about, and then disconnect from yourself, the rest of your brothers, because he's folding his arms after standing for ruku, while you believe that the hands should be dropped on the side, or because he dropped his hands on the side, why you believe that he should actually have folded his arms. Don't do that. For this ruku, if it were for the first ruku, yes. See, brother, stop that. Fold your arms. You can make an issue with that. That is the first qiyam. Somebody dropped his hands. Tell him, fold your arms. But this second qiyam, you will lack a proof to tell him that. If you tell him, brother, fold your arms, I ask you, what is the proof? You will give him a proof that can mean that and may not mean that. A proof that is not clear cut regarding it. It means people should take it easy. The same thing we mentioned regarding where do we put the hands in the first rack? The shoulder on top of the shoulder, below. Take it easy on this issue. The same thing we say it. Take it easy. If you find the brother dropping his hands, you find the brother folding his hands. Take it easy with them. I didn't hear the technique. It becomes obligatory on us when you hear the technique. If you didn't hear, no problem. So where do we place our hands after standing up from ruku? I think let's start from known to unknown. I believe that you should drop your hands after standing for ruku. The issue is such that it's a long-term issue. Been looking at it. Even amongst the present-day scholars, they are different various. Sometimes you see a teacher hold a view on it, the student holds the opposite view, or vice versa. So it depends on what. Sometimes you have a view that you should fold it. Sometimes you change. It's like this, my view is not correct. You change it again. Sometimes you hear other things again and read other things. I will fold. This is the kind of issue that things like this have happened. It has never happened to me. I've never dropped my hands. But if it has happened to somebody, it is not a thing of blame. You listen to the ulama, you read something, let me be dropping my hands. You listen again. You read again. Oh, let me be told. This one appears more convincing. So the matter is about what? Conviction. I believe that we should drop our hands when we stand up from ruku. For two major reasons. The first reason is one of the reasons Sheikh Mazmoor mentions. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught the details of Salah, places Salah. And the companions were watching him in Salah. They were watching him as he prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith we just read, Malik ibn Khawai said, he raised his hands. then you drop it. It is even to the level of yellow. If the person is not paying attention to a person, how would he know the level to which he raised the hand? Radiallahu anhu. If Ibn Umar was not paying attention, how did he know that he raised it to the level of the shoulder? So the Prophet, when he prays, he raises his hands to the level of the shoulder. The reason you're watching, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he read the hadith. He watched him, watched him and said, Messenger of Allah, after Takbiratul Ihram, you are silent, what are you saying? It was because they were watching him. Radiallahu anhu, the companions, they were watching every detail of the Prophet's prayer. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they transmitted everything they were watching. I saw him do like this. Ikhwa, do you know that even his Qiyamul Layl, they are watching him? In Ash-Shama'i, the Imam al-Tirmidhi, one of the companions said that, he said, I said to myself, لَأَرُمُ قَلْنَ صَلَاةَ النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَ. This night, I will not sleep. I will go and watch how the Prophet is praying Qiyamul Layl, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the night, they are watching his Salah, radiallahu anhu. And they transmitted to us every detail of his salah. To the extent that they say we are watching his beard in the Salat al-Sirriya, perhaps Salat al-Zuhur or Asr. We want to know what is he reading in Zuhur. So they are watching his beard is moving. They are watching his beard was moving. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were so detailed in their observation of the Prophet Muhammad and in their conveyance of that salah, they are detailed. And that's why about everything in salah, you find its proof. Standing in salah, what is the proof? وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ وَكَانَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ إِذَا قَامَ فِي الصَّلَىٰ إِذَا قَامَ يُسَلِّمْ. So you must first of all stand up. So you can be there, you must make takbiratul ihram first. And then say takbiratul ihram is miftah salah. And then after Takbiratul Ihram, we say what? Dua al-Istiftah. That one too was discovered by Abu Huraira, so to speak, discover. And then Istiazah. And then the various form of Adiyatul Istiftah. They reported every detailed information regarding his salah. But there is no single hadith that when he stands up, he falls in. One of the scholars said, Rahimahullah, for 40 years, the Sheikh al-Albani certificate. He said, for 40 years I have been telling you people, there is no single hadith to prove that when he stood up, he will fold his hands. Like we have in other aspects of Salah. Every aspect of Salah. He raised his hands in Qiyam, go. How he did it in Qiyam was told to us. He raised his hand before Ruku, go. How he did it before Ruku was said to us. He raised his hand after standing, while standing up from Ruku. How he did it was told us. Then they did not tell us where he will put the hand after standing up from Ruku. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Al-Imam al-Albani quoted him. He said Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, or would say, if there is a thing that is so necessarily requiring a proof, and then you don't find the proof, it means the Prophet did not do it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if he did it, la nukila ilayna. Wallahi. If he had done it, it would have been reported to us. This not in Sahih. If he had done it, it would have been reported to us. Regarding this point that I say, Sheikh Bazmir said, Hafizahullah, he's still alive. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Salim Bazmi is a scholar of hadith resident in Mecca. He had a PhD from the University of Medina. He lectured there, became an associate professor of hadith. Now he lectures in Umm al-Qura. He has many books to his credit. Sheikh Bazmi, Muhammad ibn Umar. There is Ahmad ibn Umar ibn Salim Bazmi. This one is Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Salim Bazmi. They are brothers. Even though he refers to Muhammad, Sheikh Muhammad Bazmul as his teacher. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Umar, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Salim, Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Salim Dazmu. He says, Hafizahullah, Anna Salata hiya ruknu thani fil Islam ba'da shahadatain. Salah is the second pillar in Islam after the two statements of testimony. He says, As-salatu hiya ruknu thani fil Islam ba'da shahadatain. After the two statements of testimony, the most important rukun, pillar of Islam is Salah. وَهِيَ مِنْ أَهَمِّ الْعِبَادَةِ And Salah is from the most important of worship. From the most significant worship in Islam is Salah. وَالْعِبَادَةِ تَوْكِفِيَةِ And worship are all تَوْكِفِيَةِ dependent on text. You will not give it a worship, except that there is a text that says, worship Allah like this. I was repeating a Christian a few days ago. The person is doing feed 10 for Xmas. Feed 10 for Xmas. Hashtag. Say, I will tell you something today. Xmas itself does not occur in the Bible. Feed 10 for Xmas too does not occur in the Bible. We are using two innovations. One innovation is based on another innovation. And then you ascribe it to Allah. The person quickly rejected it and no. We are not saying that Jesus Christ was born in Christmas. We are not saying that there is Christmas in the Bible. We are not. They quickly, immediately was refuted. No, no. It's not part of us. So worship must have come from Allah. Allah will say, worship me like this. Worship me like this. This is the meaning of saying that, well, ibadat, tawqifiyya. Ibadat, worship. Because worship, generally speaking, is what Allah likes and is physical. So how do you know that Allah likes it? He didn't tell you that He likes it. So that is why worship must be something that Allah says, do this to worship me. Worship me like this. Or, I like those who do like this. Oh, you know that is worship. He said, well, ibadat, tawqifiyya. And worship, or acts of worship are things that are text dependent if you are a translator. That is how you render it. Tawqifiyya. What do you call it? Text dependent. You don't do it except that you find a text. You connect the two words together with a hyphen. وَقَدْ حَرَصَ الصُّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ عَلَىٰ نَقْلِ الدِّينِ وَتَبْلِيغِ السُّنَّةِ And the companions رضي الله عنهم made great efforts to convey the religion, what I believe is sunnah, and also transmit the sunnah to us. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَكَانَ مِمَّا بَلَّغُوهُ And from the things that they have conveyed, they have transmitted to us, وَحَرَصُوا عَلَىٰ نَكْلِهِ And they made serious efforts to transmit and convey صَلَاةُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ صِفَةُ صَلَاةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰهُ The manner of the Prophet's prayer, alayhi salatu wasalam, hatta to the extent that innahum naqalu lana adaq al-umur. The companions narrated to us even the most tiny of the affairs of salah. They told us. He said, hatta innahum naqalu lana adaq al-umur salah. From the affairs of salah. The simplest thing you like to think about, they told us, Allati kana alayha, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be, naqalu kulla dhalika bi wuduhin, tami. They reported all of that with clarity, perfect clarity, wa diqqatin mutanahiyatin, and with very, very high level precision. Precise, exactly, they told us. رضي الله عنه فكيف يفوتهم أن ينقلوا وضع اليدين على الصدر بعد الركوع How would it have missed them that they didn't tell us that after standing up from ركوع we should place our hands on the chest They didn't say that They did not transmit that So the first reason is that there is no clear cut evidence to say that place your hands on the chest Notice And Salah, in every aspect of Salah, there are evidences regarding Ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad. This is the first reason, I think. The matter would not require time to infer a proof. It requires clear-cut evidence. May Allah guide us aright. The second thing which gives prominence to dropping the hands after ruku in my mind is the affair of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. It is reported of him that kana yarfa'u yadayhi fil witr, when he makes salatul witr, after the ruku he stands up to make dua, yarfa'u yadayhi, so you raise hands for dua, thumma yursiluhuma, after he will drop it, he raise his hands, he drop it. When he stands up after ruku, he wants to make kunut, then later he drops it. Where is the place for the hands? The sides. Sheikh Bazmul said, this is evidence that he was not folding the hands. If he was folding the hands, if he was not making dua, he was doing what? Either fold. So if he was either raising the hands or dropping it, then dropping it is the place for the hands. This gives some sort of a direction about where the hands is placed by a companion, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So that goes to affirm the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell us all the hands. So for these reasons, I consider it more appropriate to drop the hands after standing from ruku. But you can turn the evidence and say, what is the evidence for dropping the hands? Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sa'id Rasla, that was what he was saying. He's a present day scholar, Hafizahullah, is in Misr. So what is the evidence for dropping the hands? So we drop the hands because there's no evidence to fold it. When we folded the arms in the first standing before ruku, we told us to fold the arms. We did not just fold the arms. We were told to fold the arms. كَانَ النَّاسُ يُؤْمَرُونَ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ الرَّجُلُ يَدَهُ الْيُمْنَى عَلَى ذِرَائِهِ الْيُسْرَى فِي الصَّلَاةِ. We were told to do that. So if we are not told to fold, should we fold? We should be told to fold before folding. So if we are not told to fold, what do we do? We wait for the instructions. The day we find one hadith that is sahih that says fold your hands, oh, then we fold. This is the first thing. When we folded the arms in the first time, we were told to fold. If we are not told to fold the second time, we should not fold. We are told to fold the first time. If we are not told to fold the second time, then we should not fold. We drop the hands. So these are the reasons why, until we find a proof that says fold the hands, after you stand up from ruku, fold it. So you can now ask a question. Say, ah, those of the ulama who say we should fold the hands, do they not have proof? Ulama say they have proofs, but those proofs are not clear cut. You see, every other aspect say, yarfa' yadayhi wa yarfa' min ar-ruku. He raises his hand, when he raises his hand, when he stands up from ruku. When he stands up from ruku, he says, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Then after, then this, then that. Okay, what about then when he stands up, he folds his hand? Where is that proof? This is the proof we are looking for. The other ones did not need explanations. Start trying to deduce. You know, in Salah, there are four things. There is standing in Salah. There is ruku in Salah. There is sitting down in Salah. And there is sajda in Salah. Ulama say this. The Salah has four motifs. Does it work on you? I just saw the man today. He's wearing an agada. Ulama say there are four conditions in salah: standing, ruku, sitting down, and then what? Sujood. They say in sajda, he told us to place our hands on the ground. They say in ruku, he told us to grab our knees with our hands. In sitting down, he told us to place our hands on our chest, on our laps. So they say what that means is that during standing, we must place our hands on our chest. It's the second evidence of Sheikh Rasla. Hafizahullah. So that means we must place the hands on the chest, whether it is the first standing or second standing. Ulama say this istidlal is ba'id, far. It's far away. Because you start trying to deduce. Clear cut proof. When you start up before, where is it? So Allahu alam, the rest of the proofs, this is the nature of the proofs. Proofs that indicate that, okay, كان الناس يؤمرون أن يضع الرجل يده اليمنى على ذرائه اليسرى في الصلاة. The people were commanded that an individual should place his right palm on his left ذراع arm, we'd explain it to us, في الصلاة, in صلاة. Okay. When he is sitting down between the two sajda, is he in صلاة? Is it salah? Sitting down between the two sajda. Is it salah? Should he also place his hands on his chest? Because the hadith says it's salah. So the service is making istidlal, at least istidlal, the nafsul mutlaq. Making proof with an evidence that could mean other things. The clear-cut evidence is if he stands up, he places his hand on his shoulder, like we have for other aspects of salah. Allahu alam, this position appears clearer to me and more convincing to me. That there is no proof that says when you stand up from ruku, you should rather fold your arms or your hands. No clear-cut proof, no straightforward proof, as we have for other aspects of salah. Allahu A'lam. If you find somebody quoting a clear-cut hadith, when you stand up from ruku, fold your hands, follow the hadith. But Imam Al-Albani says that kind of a hadith does not exist. Before he said it, he said that is from the knowledge that Allah has given me. That I have studied narrations, I have studied published books and unpublished works. I have searched a hadith. Not even a Hassan hadith occurs. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands up from the Quran, he says his hand. He says it does not occur. And he said, for 40 years I have been saying it, give me one hadith, no hadith. Let me say this to us. Somebody can say, Albani, you hear what ulama say. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Some people make the mistake. They call him Sheikh Salih al-Uthaymeen. It's an error. His name is Muhammad. Sheikh ibn al-Uthaymeen, his name is what? Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Rahimahullah. He was explaining this matter and saying that we should fold the hands when we stand up from ruku. Somebody said to him that Sheikh al-Albani says no hadith occurs on that. He kept quiet. Sheikh ibn al-Uthaymeen kept quiet and said, Ma ra'aytu tahta adim al-sama insanan أعلم من الألباني في علم الحديث. On the earth, the entirety of the earth, I do not know if anyone has a greater knowledge of hadith than this man. On this issue. So when you say no hadith occurs, somebody who can say it has said it to you, it is done back in the world. The Sheikh said, Usaymeen Rahimahullah, I don't know anybody like him who knows this science. he only comes if you don't make it an issue of meaning that the man has made a statement, the rest of us must. So, if there is a hadith, if you find one hadith tomorrow, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, if you find a hadith tomorrow that says it, follow the hadith. إذا صح الحديث. As long as the hadith is followed. But for me, inshallah, see, now as I speak, I don't know any hadith. I'll be waiting for the day that I find such a hadith. Other reports that make that have ihtimalat. Somebody says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you stand up from ruku, you must stand such that all the bones go back to their places. All the bones go back to their places. Does that mean fold the arms? Is that the meaning of fold the arms? It does not mean that. May Allah protect us. This is what is clear to me now. Feeling that you should go to another issue. So if you stand up from ruku, drop the hands. But there are those amongst the ulama who said that you can fold it. So if you fold the hands, you must be looking, you must have a proof for folding the arms after ruku. So when we stand in ruku, that is when we say what? Samuel, Rabbana lakal hamd. After standing firmly, Rabbana lakal hamd. Or what? Rabbana walakal hamd. Or what? Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. Or what? Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd. That is one of the adhkars of al-qiyam ba'd al-raf'i min al-ruku. One of them. One of the ways. So you are four already. When you stand up from ruku, what do you say? Rabbana wa lakal hamd. What do you say? Rabbana lakal hamd. What do you say? Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. What do you say? Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd. If a person says this, he has completed, he's okay. He can go for a sajda. But there are other additions too, if he wants more rewards. He has fulfilled the basic rule. Don't forget, Rabbana lakal hamd is wajib. Sami Allahu liman hamida is wajib. You mentioned this quote, they are obligatory. Because he commanded the one who erred in his salah, you should do it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When in ruku stand up from, say Sami Allah. When he stand up, praise Allah. He commanded him to do it. So the correct view in that is that they are obligation. Sami Allah liman hamida wajib. Compulsory. If a person lives with his sinning, Rabbana lakal hamd. Compulsory. If he lives with his what? His sinning. While observing salah. May Allah protect us. So when he stands saying, Sami Allah, Rabbana lakal hamd, or Rabbana walakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd, he has other additions from reports from him, alayhi salatu wassalam. From those additions is that he could say, Rabbana, or say it full, Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd, mil'u samawat wa mil'u al-ard وَمِنْءُ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْضٍ مِلْءُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَمِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ وَمِنْءُ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْضٍ بَعْضٍ not بَعْضٍ دَعْلٍ وَمِنْءُ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْضٍ مِلْءُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَمِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ وَمِنْءُ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْضٍ. So he says what? اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعض. ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. If you like, ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. If you say, ربنا ولك الحمد ملء السماوات, you are describing Allah's hamd. ربنا, our Lord, ولك الحمد, and all praises belong to you. ملء السماوات, that phrase covers the entirety of the earth, the entirety of the heavens. وملء الأرض, that you approve, it encompasses the entirety of the earth. وملء ما شئت من بعض, من شيء بعض, every other thing that I mentioned after the heavens and the earth, your praise covers all of them. It's describing the mightiness of the praise and the what? Tremendous nature of the praise. Your praise is mighty, covers all things. If you say mil'u, but if you say mil as-samawat, what you are saying, that phrase, were it to be a physical thing, it will cover the entirety of the heavens and the earth, and anything after that. Anything you like to say after that. So if you like, say mil'u. If you like to say what? Mil'a. They have both been reported in authentic ahadith. Mil'u samawat wa mil'u al-ard wa mil'u ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'd. Mil'u al-ard, mil'u samawat wa mil'u al-ard wa mil'u ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'd. Anything you desire after these two things, your praises cover them all. They encompass them all. So that is one way of, one of the things to add. So you say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, raising your hands. When you drop the hands, you say what? Rabbana laka alhamd, mil'u samawat, wa mil'u al-ard, wa mil'u ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'd. What about the one we are used to? Hamdan كثيرا طيبا مباركا عليه أو فيه. They are both correct. كما يحب ربنا ويرضى. He says that in قيام الليل صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you ask, إذا لا نبي تمشي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قيام الليل. So what we should be saying in other salah, ملء السماوات وملء الأرض ومن ما شئت من شيء بعد. ملء السماوات وملء الأرض ومن ما شئت من شيء بعد. As for حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى قيام الليل. Don't ask me, what if I say it in other salah apart from قيام الليل. I say the Prophet did not used to do so. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله. I will introduce that one قيام الليل. Do this one in other than قيام الليل. ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. ملء السماوات حمدا. ربنا ولك الحمد. ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. الإمام مسلم reported that hadith. ملء الأرض, ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. The hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. وما دين ليري. They can ask you, أنا تنبيه متانيكو. لا دليل مجننك. آه. Chicken frames. In frames. إنها chicken frames. إمام مسلم. Cook. إن كاتي آه كركتي حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى. من زو علينا تي وانا تكين سلا تكين ديري تكين تكين ديري كو قيام الليل. أما تكين سلا فريلا ذي تي ربنا ولك الحمد ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. Put the right text in the right holes. Okay. Are there other additions? I say yes. So after ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد, he will say عليه الصلاة والسلام أهل الثناء والمجد. أهل الثناء والمجد. He will praise Allah. If he says أهل السماء, أهل الثناء فاؤون, ألكم باؤون تاؤون فاؤون, أهل الثناء أو أهل الثناء. If he says أهل الثناء, with حرف نداء, يا أهل الثناء. Oh Allah, you are أهل الثناء. You deserve praise. You deserve praise, wal majd, and glorification. When you say, ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد أهل الثناء والمجد, لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. In your standing after ruku, أهل الثناء والمجد, لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. Don't forget, ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد أهل الثناء والمجد, لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. After ركوع, ربنا ولك الحمد, ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد أهل الثناء والمجد, لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. This is what we say when we stand up from ruku and say ربنا ولك الحمد. Where is the hadith? Sahih Muslim. Sahih Muslim. This hadith in Sahih Muslim. Like this. ربنا لك الحمد, ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد أهل الثناء والمجد, لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. But in قيام الليل he will say what? حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى. Oh, he says لربي الحمد لربي الحمد لربي الحمد. He does it, it's in that one. لربي الحمد لربي الحمد لربي الحمد. I think that we have discussed the adhkar of standing after ruku. The next issue is going down for sajda or sujood. How do we go for sujood? After saying the adhkar, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ مِلْءُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ وَمِلْءُ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدِ أهل الثناء والمجد, لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. الله أكبر. We want to go for a sujood. How do we go for sujood? The first thing around this is raising up the hands. That was why I was looking for Abu Abdullah from Isha'i. There's an issue around this. Some of the ulama do not count it as from the sunnah that if you are going from the ruku, from the standing position to sujood, if you are going from the standing position to sujood, they say don't raise your hands. So how do we handle the correct? Well, we'd like to stop here. But the correct thing is that we raise our hands before we go on for as-sujood. What is the hadith? The hadith of Malik ibn Huwairis Abu Sulaiman. We will come back to it inshallah in our next class. If you want to go for sujood, you raise your hands, Allahu Akbar, and then you go for sujood. We'll come back to it inshallah in our next class. I think it will suffice for us to start with Rabbana walaka alhamd mil'u samawat wa mil'u al-ard wa mil'u ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'd ahlu sana'i wal majd la mani'a lima fa'it wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi min kal jaddi. Don't forget, where does the hadith occur? Sahih Muslim. That is the generation we are now. As you are knowing what you should do, you are knowing the place where the Lord wants us. It's that kind, inshallah. If there are a few questions, you take them, inshallah, before we proceed. Now, the brother asked, we said we will demonstrate how you stand up from Ruku. The man is on ruku. In ruku, he must grab his knees, go spread his fingers. He must be resting also on his knees. So he does that, and he must stretch his back. He will not drop his head, he will not also raise his head. It must be flat. So he goes on ruku two ways. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Or Sami Allahu liman hamida. He finishes Sami Allahu liman hamida, and then he does what? He stands up. But he's standing up, what is his hands doing? His hands are coming up. Or this one is a hadith of who? Malik ibn Huwayr. Hadith? This one hadith of who? Abdullah ibn Umar. After standing at the ruku. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Men are women. No difference. So when he raises the hands, for example, he says, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana walaka alhamd, mil'u samawat, wa mil'u al-ard, wa mil'u ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'd, ahlu sana'i wal majd, la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd. When you are saying this, the back must be straight, don't forget. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, la yamduru Allahu ila salati abdi. Allah will not look at, the salah of a slave. La yuqimu sulbahu, he will not stretch his back bayna ruku'i wa sujud. Between the ruku' and you are supposed to stretch your back. So as you are saying it, you are not bent. You are straight. That is when you make that abjah. Then you raise the hands and go for sajda. Amin. Walaikum salam. I have not heard anything from your question. Is it allowed for the individual to make such that is sahwi? If he misses Sami Allahu liman hamida behind the imam. I don't know if he said that. Perhaps when we come to such that is sahwi, we discuss them more. If you give an answer, you say, where is the proof for that? Cool. Yarhamukallah. He's saying a person leaves out saying Sami Allahu liman hamid, and he's praying behind the Imam. If the Imam makes taslim, this is your question. If the Imam now makes taslim, should that person make sajda to say no? Because the Imam is what? Dhamin. The Imam is dhamin. He has guaranteed you those errors in Salah, except the errors of Arkan. If a person lifts up a rukun, he makes the rukun. But wajibat and all of these, an Imam will dhamin. And the hadith is authentic in Sunan Abi Dawud. The Imam is your dhamin. He guarantees your Salah. Your errors, Allah overlooks it because you are praying behind Imam. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum As-Salaam. Ameen wa Anjum. We are hearing that the earth is seven. Just like the heavens are seven. وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُمْ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُمْ يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah is talking about the heavens. He said the seven heavens. And then he said like them is what you have of the earth. So there are seven too, inshallah. So when the earth, al-ard, is mentioned, it means the entirety of them. Not only your own. Ulama discuss this in tafsir. If we have one of our deep brothers, learned, teaching the Quran, explaining it, all some of these issues will be clarified. The books of tafsir have these explanations. Many times you see samawat wal ard. Samawat wal ard. Samawat occurs as a plural, but ard occurs as a singular. Why? And they have both seven. You clarify that in, if you are in a class of tafsir. But they are both seven. You understand? When it says al-ard, it also covers them. It's one small, simple explanation we can have. Al-ard is yastadrikul arda kullaha. It covers the entirety of whatever you mentioned as earth. That word, al-ard. Itself is a word, but it's a plural because of the at-ta'rif that it has. It will encompass everything called earth. Guys, even بينهما ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وما بينهما or ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما بينهما. That also occurs in riwaya. When you teach people large crowd, you take the simplest wording of that after. Easy to grasp by us. Amin wa antum. Alaykum as-salam. Amin wa antum. If a person comes into a place in the night, he does not know the Qibla, he can ask the people of the city. He does not find somebody to ask. He can make qiyasat. Start watching the direction of the mosques. If it were in the time that the moon is out, in the night, start watching the direction of the moon. You know, in the night, from when the moon becomes bright, getting smaller, from 13-14 down, where will the moon be? In the east. So that should be your direction of Qibla, approximately, where you find the moon. But if it is the other time round, it will be on the west. So you go on the opposite direction. There are others. Arabs have a lot of things they used to do. The stars. They know the stars. They look at it and say, oh, this is stars. They know the stars. So they know the direction of the Qibla also from them. It is from the easy tida they make with the stars. Wabin Najmi, Wum Yahatabi. They see guidance of all of these. They know, even when they travel, they know the direction they are going inside the desert by watching the stars. I have a professor in the department somewhere at Zadita University who still knows the stars. He told us about getting lost when we are on a field trip. To get lost, you can trace your way from the stars. But we don't know the stars or that. I wish that we could learn using the stars to know the direction of things, including the Qibla. So the Arabs knew that. So if you now try all the means, you pray, and then you find out that you have conformed with the direction of the Qibla, alhamdulillah. If you find out at the end of the day that you did not conform with the direction of the Qibla, you don't need to repeat yourself. Because when you wake up in the morning, you will certainly know the direction, using the direction from where the sun comes out. This is for us, largely. It may be slightly different for other people in other parts of the world. Naam. How do we know the time for Zuhr and Al-Salat al-Asr? That was what we had been preaching before we came to issue of Salat. We have discussed them at length before we came here. So one way of doing it is to ask for the past audience. We are lucky these days, they are it's a big luck, it's a big fortune for us. Big fortune. In the past, once it is said, it's gone. Nobody can bring it back, except whoever had written it down. So you can go back to those classes, inshallah, on the times of Salah. We discuss, Salah is going to use the whole day to determine how it is to pray, how to determine. Even, I remember we brought a blackboard to describe how we determine the time for Salah to pray. What the Rasulah to add. Don't let us go back to it. Alaykum salam. You pray behind an imam. If you pray behind an imam, before you make Fatiha, he's on ruku. Before you go on ruku, he stood up. Before you stood up, he's already on the road to Sajda. I think we discussed this matter too once. These kinds of imams should be told. Tuma'niyanna is rukn min arkani salah. Being calm in standing, being calm in ruku, being calm where you stand again, being calm in sajda. Tuma'niyanna ulama qali. It is from the arkan of salah. So it's better to tell that imam to calm down. If he feels offended, one way of doing it again is going to him with text. Wale wan wake. After that, he can educate the mosque. After being told it repeatedly, patiently, we can come. Salam alaikum. I have something to say. Inna the tabihi, and my people will say that. Or ejo or akwa. Like we raise issues in Masjid. You will explain to Maniyan. You bring the hadith. You will not say about our Ishmael. It can endanger the Salah. You explain the importance. Don't talk about Imam. Don't say we don't do it. Because many times before you go to Imam Masjidah, you might tell Imam Masjidah. Even the account of Salah, we can do it. This one endangers our Salah. But we have Salah, the problem is with him. But if we find out that he actually does not read them, some people don't read. When we were younger than this, they used to take us for the Jalabi. We read like 1,000 Akari. So you will hear, Mubin. The Mubin will just come from nowhere. From after your sin, so the next one is Mubin. Almost between them are almost 9 verses, the first Mubin. So Ya Hasrat al-Ibad was between the first Mubin and Ya Hasrat al-Ibad, almost 20 verses. You pick one. But the Prophet Muhammad كان يقرأ آية آية إذا قال الحمد لله رب العالمين وقف سكت الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم تبعت الله هو brought the religion عليه الصلاة والسلام. So if you hear one imam saying الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك, even if he's the imam of Mecca, know that he's wrong. Then he says, وَالْتِينِ وَالْزَيْتُونِ وَتُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ is also wrong. What should he say? وَالْتِينِ وَالْزَيْتُونِ وَتُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ لَقَدْ خَلَقُنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ ثُمَّ وَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. If a person is reading Quran like this, it will not take a long time before the people behind you also know how to read Quran well. There are females amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. They memorized many parts of the Quran like this, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet Muhammad, because of his tamadun, as he going gradually, inshallah. I'm sure any one of them that is told to visit President Bukhari in Asorok will not be in a hurry to go out. They write him a letter from Asorok, Imam. Tomorrow, we have a flight, presidential meaning, Arik Airline will carry you, will fly you to Abuja tomorrow by 4 p.m. We are aware that you are residents in Oshogbo and you don't have an airport, sorry. But they are building one now for us. So you have a car that will pick you to the airport. The first thing you'll be thinking about is the clothes that you will wear. Is it so? Yeah. I shall only wear right. When they're regarding Sayo. Starting. This is my cup. You call your wife. Oh my God, come. This cup, does it fit? When they take you, they fly you. Maybe the man has not flown an airplane before. When the plane most takes off, he grabs his chair. He starts saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If Allah from His will, there is turbulence. I have flown, the airline does no more exist now. I have flown Chenchengi before, Lagos to Kaduna. But they dropped in Abuja to pick some passengers and then they dropped us in Kaduna. The plane was going up like this, Ikwa. Up! Down! Up! I told one of the children of the owner of the airline, I said, your father's plane almost killed me today. The man has died. May Allah forgive him. Malam Ahmed Chanchangi is the very imam who likes Islam a lot. He likes Islam, he likes Sunnah. A lot. He did not live amongst rich people. He lived amongst the poor. He said because the day he died, he wants people to be much in his janazah. And Allah granted that prayer for him. I was there in the janazah. If you are not very careful, you will not be able to get to the place where they are even making janazah because of the large number of people. The point here is the plane is going up and down like this. But that day I was sure that I will not die because I was reciting A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tamma min sharri ma khalaq. A'udhu bi, I was calm. I was looking at that. Somebody said, Jesus. Jesus. In this one. Even Mushriku used to call Allah. You are calling Jesus. After the Jesus went silent, I didn't hear anything again. I look at the alarm. I said, if this plane crashes today, I will come out safe. Nothing will happen to me. I told her when I got to Kaduna, if your plane had crashed, you would have seen trouble. You would have seen something you have never seen before today. At that morning, my car was complete. I was so sad. If it crashes, I will be the one that will walk out of this plane. But Allah did not make it to crash. Alhamdulillah. So if this man that was brought from Liberia to come and see President Buhari is riding on the plane that is going up and down, ha! The authority of the Agada itself is clear. If he gets to the Alto Rock, from Abuja they took him in the airport. President, he's going to Alto Rock. You know what it means? By the time you get to the three arms zone, you know you are going to the presidential palace. You know three arms zone? Your beings, your family. I stabbed in Abuja, so don't wonder how did I know. I did my East service in that city, Abuja. And I was national admiral of MCA, Muslim Corps member. There's no way I was not going to. The only place I did enter was Aso Rock itself. And Alhamdulillah that I did not enter it. So when you get to 3 arms zone, they start asking, who do you want to go? They say, President. La hawla wa la quwwata. Who say they should bring you? President. You pass. How do you feel? You get to the gate. Who do you see? President. And then they usher you to this. You may pass through 5 or 6 or 7 palaces and waiting room. And then when you are in the next waiting room to the president, you are hearing his voice. I've seen somebody like that too. You are hearing the voice, Allahu Akbar. And then they open the door. This is president. Come in. And then he notices that you are deeply, says, calm down, sir. You ordered for tea, for snacks. You are relaxed. Say, relax. Just relax. They give you food, you are eating, you are enjoying yourself. I just give you 3 minutes. Your mind will change. Ah, you look up. Ah, you are not in a haste to go away. How about when you are with Rabbul Alameen in Salah? Why are you in a haste? Ma lakum kaifa tahkumun? Why are people in a haste to go away from Salah? What? And then he starts interacting with you. How are you? Tell me your history. Tell me your this. You start remembering people. Ah! What will I say again? So think of everything. You like to remain. How about Allah? Is in front of you when you start Salah. Why are you in a haste to leave the Salah? What? May Allah protect all of us. We can stop here conveniently. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. آمين.